In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Be seated, please. Be seated. After my opening remarks, I will ask Father Michel, because he knows Father Patrick a lot. Both are professors at the House of Studies, and he will give us the introduction of the speaker. Each year, I look forward to this gathering. We come to learn and be enriched by the presentations. But more importantly, we partake of blessed fellowship with one another. The life of an Orthodox priest in this country can be lonely and isolating. While we may communicate through our cell phones, emails, text messages, and FaceTime, there is nothing that can replace seeing each other face to face. As the psalmist says, "How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I would also say that even the educational component is not so much about our intellectual development, but about our ministering to souls. Our topic this year is about canon law, a topic that could be understood philosophically through the lens of historical development or differences of interpretation. We could approach the topic from the standpoint of trying to make our enforcement of canons more uniform and legalistic. But just as our gathering this week is about our building of holy relationships, communion with God and one another, so should our aim in studying the canons be focused on building holy relationships, communion with our people and their relationships with God and one another. How do we look beyond the canons as mere rules? This is like a common question. Our people may ask, how are these rules about relationships? Does not their enforcement lead to division of relationships or being cut off from communion? There are times when, in my capacity as a hierarch, I make decisions to apply the canons either strictly or leniently. And I am criticized. I am unable to reveal the intimate details of the matters at hand, so I can be accused of being overly harsh when I am strict or abandoning the canonical tradition when I am lenient. At times, my decisions may seem inconsistent. This is because I am the only one in possession of the full picture, and I must use my discretion to weigh each situation with fatherly love. Let me say that I am guided, and I want us all to be guided by the beautiful canon 102 of the Council of Trullo. It reads in part, and I quote, "It behooves those who have received from God the power to loose and bind, to consider the quality of the sin and the readiness of the sinner for conversion, and to apply medicine suitable for the disease, lest if he is injudicious in each of these respects, he should fail in regard to the healing of the sick man. End of quote. It continues on to explain that a doctor must decide the correct amount of medication for a patient. If he were to give too little, the patient will not be cured. And if he were to give too much, the patient may die of an overdose. In other words, by being lenient in one situation, I may leave a sinner unrepentant. Or by being too strict in another situation, I may leave a sinner in despair. I share these thoughts with you because this matter of canon law is not a matter of arcane historical debate with no relevance to our contemporary society. In the homelands of our Antiochian Patriarchate, where there are many civil and legal matters that are still governed by the canons, this relationship between the canons and life may be more straightforward. But I would argue that the canons came forth from an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that enlightened the Holy Fathers of the Church in applying the gospel to the matters of everyday life. And these must still be a guide to us in this land and this culture and this time. We relegate them to the realm of intellectual debate to our own spiritual peril. I hope the presentations this week will renew our interest in the study of the canons for the ways in which they are life-giving. They are not for us to cast judgment on our hierarchs or fellow priests or our people. No, they are meant as medicine from a loving physician. They are the guides that come from a loving father. Unfortunately, we do not have many experts in this field in our church, in this land. I have profound gratitude for those who endeavor to study the canons and serve our church with their expertise. I have come to know and respect Father Patrick Viscuso. He is well known to many of our clergy through his teaching at our Antiochian House of Studies. He has done much in his ministry to teach and apply the canons in the way we have been discussing. I am very happy to have him with us, and we will learn from him together. I offer my prayer for God to grant our time together be one of love, joy, and brotherhood, and for our deliberations here to bear much fruit in the building up of His Holy Church. So these are my opening remarks and introduction to the topic. As I said in the chapel, you might not understand, like when I use, like I am harsh on some situation, and I am lenient on the other. Because every patient has a different situation. But I told you many times, don't push me, don't try to me to have any dispensation. Because every time I have a dispensation, so it means I have to break the law. And this is not my intention. I told you many years ago that when I give a hierarchy, you know, like in general, and myself, when I give any dispensation, you know what happens? There is no sleep. There is like pain inside of me because, you know, like I caused a violation. I violated the canons. So when you write like requests, for example, and you know the answer, like when you ask me, for example, you know, like a wedding on the beach, a wedding in a casino, for example, you know the answer. Why are you writing that? You know what? Now I will be harsh. When every time I will receive a letter from that, from you, I will tear it down and put it in trash, okay? This is the harshness. Because I don't like to violate any of the canons. So even me as a metropolitan now, I have all the right like to have dispensations, but I don't want to use it. So help me not to use it. You will be at peace and I will be at peace. And if we don't teach our people and guide them to respect, you know what happened the past 2 weeks? Three requests came to my office to have weddings during the Dormition Lent, Dormition Fast. Is this the way we run a church? Is this the way we guide people? So why do we have to do that? Oh, because, you know, like we couldn't find a nice fellowship hall, and this is not of my business. Oh, the priest was not informed, for example, you know, when decided, the priest was not informed. This is not a good excuse. So either that priest, he is the father of the community and he has control. I don't mean control in a negative way. He has like, he is aware, he has to be aware of any situation in his parish, or he has to pack up and leave that parish. Am I clear? Am I harsh enough? I like to be harsh than to be violating the canons. Thank you very much.